Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and this segment we call Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. We've been bringing it to you a long time, over 6 years now. It's brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Kuby Sausage House, and Kuby's Game Processing in Dallas. Larry's TV show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT that I use for all of my night hunting. Well, folks, it is now time for Campfire Talk, and Mr. Larry Wysoon is with us over there across the glowing embers of the campfire, and he looks like he's ready to talk maybe some hunting. Larry, thank you for being here, buddy.
Again, it's my pleasure, and I don't think there's ever a time when I'm not ready to talk about some kind of hunting.
We've done a lot of it. We've talked.
Yes, we have.
I dare say we might have talked more, you and I, about hunting than maybe me and you than anybody, any other buddy I've got. It's very possible if it was all documented, you know?
I think that's very probable. I think it goes beyond that possible thing.
Yep. Larry, last week we talked a little bit about hogs and talked about a lot of things, actually, hunting hogs. But
yes,
the Texas Hog Hunters Association, you know, it has a magazine now that you write for, and I work with the magazine. It's called The Sounder. But one of the posts in the organization has a Facebook page, and folks, you can go to Texas Hog Hunter Association and just like it and join right in, you know, with the conversation there. But Larry, a guy had a hog, you know what, like a bearskin rug, if you will.
Yeah,
you've seen bobcats mounted the same way,
right?
You know. He had a hog, and I've honestly never seen this before, but a hog skin rug, if you will. The head was mounted. It was a pretty toothy looking boar that he'd killed, and he or his taxidermist had taken the time to cape that thing out and, you know, skin the whole hide out, and that was an awesome looking rug. I mean, I was kidding him about it. I said, well, you might want to be careful about putting it on the floor. The thing had about 2 inches of tush sticking up. I said, that'd be tough to step on when you get up in the morning.
Or
you
get
know?
Your foot hung in it as you tripped over.
He said, oh no. He said, he's got a trophy room and he's going to put it on the wall. But have you ever seen that particular?
I've seen about three or four of them. And one or two of them I saw were in Europe that were done that way. And then I've seen a couple of them here in the States. And as you were talking, I'm trying to remember where that I saw this. But I have seen them. And in the instances that I'm thinking of the particular hogs that were mounted that way, they were that European-looking hog, you know, with kind of grizzled, lots of hair, you know, kind of that undercoat of fur almost that they have during the wintertime. And they made some very, very interesting mounts. Matter of fact, Tim Fallon, that's where I remember seeing one of them. Tim had one of them done like that. I'm not sure where he'd probably in one of the countries that he hunted in Europe or something like that, but that he shot. And I mean, it's an interesting mount, particularly, you know, you don't see it very often, but it's certainly something, if you shot a really good hog that had a lot of nice hair or a lot of under fur type stuff,
mm-hmm.
I can make just one heck of a mount to do it that way.
You bet. I have a buddy that's a taxidermist, and I talking to him about it, and he said, you know, that was, he'd only done one in his whole career, and he's been a taxidermist for a long time, and you know, he said there was such interest on the Facebook page there, the Texas Hog Hunters Association. I said, well, we might need to let people know about this a little bit, and it's just a different, really neat looking mount. You know, totally different than you usually see. You know, just a regular shoulder mount up on the wall, but. Matt, got me thinking about it. That kind of looked good in that little cabin I got out there, you know?
I tell you what, it would look absolutely great out there. Golly.
Yeah.
Yeah, consider that. I know that you've got an opportunity here and there to shoot one of those hogs that looks like a European hog, particularly as we're going into the fall and the wintertime when they start putting that, you know, really good hair on. That would make an absolutely gorgeous mount.
Get one of those like our buddy Jeff Rice over there at his place over.
Exactly. Yes, sir. That's what we were talking. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. There's you've probably heard Larry and I talking. We've got a friend, Jeff Rice, that's got several hundred acres on the upper end of Lake Fork. and he has some land leased from the Sabine River Authority. But Jeff's like us, he's a rabid hog hunter, and Larry, I think he has about 12 or 15 feeders he keeps going year round right there, you know. And those hogs, I mean, not every one of them, but I say the majority of them have that European look. And one of those, especially that boar that you was after,
he would look really good that way. I'll tell you, that was quite a hog.
It was. It had that. It had the grizzled guard hairs, and then it had that wool under, you know, close to the skin, just like those traits were obviously passed down. You know, I don't really think just feral hogs, domestic hogs, would, I don't know this, but the true European hogs, that's the way they're built. I mean, they have the wool and then the long guard hairs. I don't think a domestic, Larry, would revert to that. Do you know?
I'm not sure. I've never seen one. Most of the time, it looks like the hog has got some more domestic color into them, or you know, has a kink tail or big ears or something like that. Very seldom do you see that under fur like you do on those that have that European look about them. I'd suspect probably that, you know, it'd take numerous generations or to revert back to that, but then again, it might even not even do it after several generations.
True. You know, I wanted to make sure and mention while we were talking, Larry, the Sounder, the magazine of the Texas Hog Hunters Association. It's out right now. It just came out. I know you haven't had a chance to look at it because it just came online, but it's free. And it's, folks, Larry writes for the Sounder. I do. And we have Kevin Reese writes an article there. We have several writers. And then, you know, Larry, I've been amazed. There's the information and the entertainment that some of these guys that, you know, they may, well, they're not, you know, professional writers. They're trappers or night hunters, you know, with thermal, that kind of stuff. Or some of them hunt, you know, their helicopter, the control of hogs from the helicopter, different aspects of hog hunting. But I'd say probably, two-thirds of it is articles submitted by these guys. A lot of information
and good writing. I'll tell you what, you know, I've got a mutual friend named Steve Parker that lives in down in Florida, and I think Steve is starting to try to do a little bit of writing, and he sent me a copy of an article that I think you talked to him about. And I mean, there's some of these guys out there that ought to be professional writers because they tell an absolutely great story, and obviously they have a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience, and for them to be able to pass it on and pass it through the Sounder, I think is just a great way to handle that.
It is. Yeah, Steve did an article, I think the first boar he'd ever shot. He stalked. He loves to stalk. A very veteran outdoorsman. You know, no question about that. But the hog hunting, it was kind of a newer thing to him. But he is hooked now. And, yeah, in this issue of the Sounder, Steve Parker,
okay.
It's called Palmetto Free Range, I think. It's on a military base down there.
I remember him telling me about it. And he was using a Ruger number 3, which was around for a while. And also, I think he was carrying a Ruger Blackhawk.
He was.
And of course, shooting Hornady ammo in the rifle, I know. But interesting. I mean, these guys have got a lot of knowledge. Steve, I'm finding out, is a great storyteller. And so if somebody has any kind of aspirations, or even if you don't think you can write, a lot of times, you know, always the hardest part to me was about being a writer was to sit down and write the first word. Once that first word got on paper or now on a computer, you know, the rest just seemed kind of following. I think there's a lot of folks out there that really ought to be writing, and with such publications as the Sounder, hopefully it'll give a lot of those guys the opportunity to do so.
You bet. I put the word out there. You know, I'm nothing that I'm bragging about, but I am honored to be the editor of that thing.
And you ought to be bragging.
Yeah, I don't mean it to be in a bragging way, but I do that, and it's I put the word out to these a lot of these guys, and they'll say, "Well, I don't know, Luke," and I'll say, "Well, like wireless trapping, you know, the cell phone trapping,
right? Exactly.
Those type topics, you know. I mean, that's something the average guy knows myself, I'm talking about me, very little about, but some of the stuff that these guys that do that all the time, it's pretty interesting and amazing, some of the things that you can learn through that. So, yeah, I mean, the Sounders of Magazine, folks, if you might want to submit an article, get a hold, contact me through catfishradio.com. And I tell you, Larry, it does make it easier if I can talk to them a little bit, and get on the right track. Well, they've got all kind of questions, but, in a Word document and the cut lines or captions, that kind of stuff. But it's really a simple thing. And I know it's just for instance, the advertising in this second issue is almost double what it was in the first one,
And I got a feeling that the next issue will again be the same way. I mean, there are a tremendous number of people out there who are not only just hog hunters, but who are trying to learn more and more about wild hogs all the time. And of course, the beauty of it is here in Texas, we do have a lot of hogs. With landowner permission, you can be hunted year-round, and you just need a hunting license and permission on the land to hunt. And there are no bag limits. There are no seasons.
Go get them, yeah.
There are not even any time constraints in terms of hunting before, half hour before daylight or sunrise to half hour after sunrise. I mean, you can hunt them all year round and all night long.
Exactly. Well, Larry, I think it's about time for us to put out our campfire for this week, but I really do appreciate you being with us every week. And a lot of people, a lot of people tune in every week to listen to some of our tales or things that you did last week, and some of them are things that you did when you were a kid, but
a long time ago.
To me, they're all interesting, and we'll be right here with everyone this time next week, right?
Yes, sir.
That's right, Larry. And, folks, we are just about out of time. Larry and I are going to be right here with you next week. I want to remind you about his weekly TV show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, on the Sportsman's Channel. Make sure and tune into that.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter Supply. Now, Hunter Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken a Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter's Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, if you hunt hogs very much, I probably don't need to tell you that they become almost entirely nocturnal with the least bit of pressure. I use a Photon XT night scope. Actually, you can use the Photon during the day. I've actually sighted mine in during the daylight hours. You can shoot with it just as well during the daylight hours as you can at night. But at night, it becomes really golden. You can buy the Photon XT for around $500. I'll direct you where you can find it and look at it. Go online to sightmark.com. Click All Products and then Night Vision, and then look at the Photon XT. It's an affordable unit. There's all kind of different night hunting options when you get there, binoculars, everything that you can imagine for hunting at night. Just go online to sightmark.com and learn all about it. Folks, if you're having trouble with your feeders, I want to hook you up with Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. Carl makes a line of feeders that I've been using them for, well over 12 years, maybe a little bit more than that. They work every time. He also makes the timer that is easy to set, goes off every time. You can set it on multiple feedings. And he also makes the eliminator. Now, the eliminator mounts to the quarter-inch spinner shaft off the motor and works on centrifugal force. It seals the flow of corn off completely when the feeder stops spinning. So, that combination is a winning deal. Go online to ultramaticfeeders.com, check them out, or just give Carl a call at 877-428-4637.